It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Welcome in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Where is this place we're currently in? What is this?
Yeah, they've got some nice studios for us up here at Vivint Arena. This is nice. We haven't been here in, feels like, since April.
Wow. Lloyd's got some shiny new tools in there, like new boards and screens.
I know, crazy, huh?
We got like these new dial-up mic system things that are in front of us. This place is nice. You forget about how nice your studios are when you come back.
I know.
After a couple of weeks of not being here.
It just feels like a brand new studio.
Feels like a new studio. Man, it was a good weekend. How about you, Scotty?
It was a busy weekend. Getting the whole place buttoned down for winter.
Are you?
It's always kind of a sad moment when you put away all your patio furniture and stuff like that, and you know, just say, all right, well, no more summer nights out in the backyard. It's all done now.
It's not fun. I don't like that part. I don't either, because you know it's all coming. I'm not ready for winter.
I even saw a snowflake in the forecast coming up.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, Lana. This is all your fault, Lana.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
Do better.
Help us out a little bit. We're not ready for fall to be done.
Look at that little snowflake there on Sunday.
Oh, man. Oh, are those our temperature?
Yeah.
71, 71, 73, 49, 42, 44. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's keep those 70s.
I mean, at least make it gradual. Let's go 71, 68, 65, 63.
Didn't it feel to you like spring went like 68, 75, 78, 102?
Yes.
105, 102. Yep. It was a brutal summer.
Yeah.
Like a 2 or 3 month stretch. It was horrible.
No bueno.
We deserve a long fall. We deserve good football weather. Everybody out there needs some time to get out there, hit their last round of golf, get out there, get their last couple of rounds of fishing in. I know I've got to do the whole get the sprinklers ready and.
Blow out the sprinklers.
I have to take the tramp down. You guys have an in-ground tramp?
We do have an in-ground one.
Do you take the tramp off?
Is there No, I just leave it up.
Yeah.
Should I? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Lloyd, should we? What do you do with a tramp?
Well, when you got Scotty G money, you just buy a new tramp.
You just buy a new mat?
Yeah, you just buy a new mat.
So I've been I did that once. That's not fun. Try to stretch those coils out and stuff like
right?
that. That's a lot of work.
You can lose an eye.
I know.
So I've been taking my tramp down every fall. Am I just wasting my... And it takes a lot because every fall and every spring, I have to take all the springs off and then stretch them back out. And
Well,
and are those supposed to go through the winter?
But yours isn't an in-ground, right?
It is.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I don't know. I've never done it. Plus, I don't want a big hole in the ground for some kid to run into, you know, run over. You know, you see the even snow, and he starts jogging, and all of a sudden just bloop.
Oh, yeah, it's a big hole.
So I leave mine up. I don't know. Maybe that's why I had to replace mine a couple of years ago.
Any suggestions on that? It'd be lovely. Am I extending my tramp life at all, or am I just wasting my time?
Well, all I know is that my youngest is 9. So I only anticipate a few more years of anybody wanting to be on that thing. And then after that, I'm filling it up and putting grass over the top.
Yeah. Done. Yeah. Why not? Dig a little pool.
I mean, not there. Nobody wants to see that.
Is that by
that's
the...
pretty wide open.
That's by the...
By the willow tree. Yeah.
Scotty, are we supposed to be hitting... Okay, two questions. Number one, if I turn off my sprinkler system because it, I'm not irrigated. It's that, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not watering kind of the newer trees. I've got trees that are 2 years or bushes that are 2 years. Are those bushes and trees ready to just?
They're, if you've been watering them well.
Yeah.
Throughout the summer, they're ready to go. They'll be fine.
Okay,
you're good.
So I can cut
you
the drink
let them
off.
Spread
I mean,
leaves.
My
really.
Yeah.
My water's been turned off for a while. My secondary water, irrigation water.
Okay.
So yeah. You're good.
You only had your irrigation water for what, like a month out
of it? Seems like it. It took until June to get the thing turned on.
And then, secondly, are we hitting with a fall blend? Is there like a weed killer?
I would say, yeah. I mean, yeah. If you go to your local, and I don't want to give anybody a shout out, but you know, and you go get you a fall blend or one of your, and throw that bad boy on there, you're good to go. There's a guy on Twitter that I argue with about this, but I always like to put a pre-emergent down in the fall, and it's probably overkill. It probably doesn't do anything, but it just gives me a little peace of mind thinking that, okay, you know what? I'm going to make sure I'm going to hopefully kill you now, put another layer down in February, March, when you have that like that February thaw where you have a couple weeks where it warms up a bit before it gets cold again. I like to put another layer of pre-emergent down just because, you know, I just hate dealing with weeds. But, yeah, give yourself a nice little fall coat of fertilizer and send it off and let it have a nice nap during the winter.
Tell you what, one of the best things I've done is got a guy. You get
well,
a guy.
And Charlie's the guy, man.
Charlie's a guy.
I could tell you all the things on what to do, but or you could just call our guy Charlie.
I'm just glad.
And he'll just take care of us.
It's just nice to have a dude that comes and does it. He just comes when he knows he's supposed to come.
I get a text, hey, I hit your yard today. I'm like, all right.
Hey, cheers. Thank you.
He's like, you're not watering much. And I'm like, geez, Charlie, give me a couple weeks so I make it look nice before you get there.
Didn't know you were coming, bud.
Yeah.
I'd have groomed her up a little bit for you. Yeah. It is nice. But
yeah, by the way, I got like half my neighborhood with Charlie now.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. They all love him. All right.
Because people drive by and they're like, what the heck is that guy doing?
Hey, by the way, you had a Saturday open. How was your weekend?
It was incredible. I'm going to be honest with you. It was incredible. I golfed a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I golfed an extra lot. Had a couple of buddies come in town, and we went and hit Talon's Cove, went and hit Cedar Hills, went and hit Old Mill.
And, wow.
Yeah. Got three courses, three rounds with a couple old high school buddies. And
all in one day?
No.
Not on.
Yes.
No.
It was all on Saturday.
Yep, that's the right answer.
And I'm going to tell you right now, guys, the courses in this state, Talons is playing, the greens are faster than I've ever played at Talons. Cedar Hills is just stunning. Old Mill is, to me, Old Mill is the Bountiful Ridge of, like, the Salt Lake Valley. Because you got Bountiful Ridge on that side of the mountain.
Yeah.
You got Old Mill up on the bench. And it's just absolutely gorgeous up there by Parley's Canyon. And the golf is just stunning in the state right now. It's just stunning. And it's so nice to know that golf is healthy in Utah for the first time in all the years that I've golfed. I think I've been golfing like 8 or 9 years now here in the state. And these courses are healthy. And what I'm talking about, Scotty, is tee boxes are full. Sheets are full. They didn't have corporate events. They've made it up with walk-ons. And it's awesome. Really happy for golf. Hope it keeps up. I think it will. I think people have got themselves addicted to golf.
Yeah, I'd say so. By the way, next year is my year, I've decided. I was in the garage, and I was cleaning out the garage a little bit and saw my golf clubs, and they're looking at me like,
it's time.
Really? You're just going to keep ignoring us?
Bro, just Bob Cass, go out like 3 times with Bob and just be overbearing with it. All right, Bob, fix this. Just be overbearing. Be in the sand and be like, hit like straight down in the sand and don't even hit the ball and be like, all right, Bob, come fix this.
Tell you what, Bob's tips on getting out of a sand trap are just magical.
I know. Yeah, I know.
He spent like 5 minutes, and now I don't worry at all about being in the sand.
Yeah, I think he did that when the three of us were around.
Exactly.
I listened, and I do all that, where you kind of slap the sand, and an inch behind and all the things that he showed.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, people would pay thousands of dollars for that lesson.
I think I'm more excited for the Masters this year than I am on a regular year.
Oh, I am.
Bob, come on, Bob, get up. Bob. 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 Get up. Come on. Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine. Rise and shine. Time to go get the car right now. Come on, Bob. Come on.
Scotty getting ready for golf lessons.
Bob. Bob.
Let's go. Golf lessons. Hey, so Scotty, I had got a little bit of a tip on what happened on Friday with BYU in the third and fourth quarter. I got a little bit of a tip because obviously you saw the shift and change.
Yeah.
And we heard some things from Kalani. I want to talk about a couple of things.
Let's get to it. Starting lineup now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Just proud of our players and the just the way that they were able to respond to adversity, you know, and so that we got caught in some things and the momentum was taken. It's weird because we got the momentum early and then it starts slipping away and then we had to regroup and get back at halftime and get on the side, you know, in the locker room and talk things over, collaborated with our players and talked it over with our staff, came up with what I thought would be a great game plan on defense and offense and special teams and then went out looking forward to, you know, doing whatever we can in the next 30 minutes to gain a victory.
Well, Scotty, they came out of the second half. The second quarter was pretty brutal because you saw Houston started to pick up momentum. And then the third quarter, Houston was still finding time, rhythm, pocket. They were finding a little bit of success. The receivers were sitting down in pockets. And it's weird because, you know, when you're watching the game live, and I'm watching it and following along and I'm trying to pay attention to Zach Wilson and what he's doing, and I'm trying to pay attention to the offensive line. And sometimes the defense, because I don't get a lot of wide view,
the
defense doesn't make as much sense. Because when I don't get wide view, I always just kind of think to myself, oh, well, they're back there doing their drop eight, or they're doing their cover two, or they're doing their haves and haves, which is, field side man boundary zone. Or they're trying, you know, they're doing basically what I've seen them do 100 times. Well, I heard Kalani in the post game, and I thought, I'm going to go back. I'm just going to look at and try to figure out what he was talking about. You know, what adjustments or what is it that they think that they're supposed to be doing now moving forward? Because you heard that comment from him a little bit later in the quotes too. And you go back and you watch the film, and lo and behold, there's cover one, press man.
No kidding.
Cover one, press man. I haven't seen it. So I don't even know. Maybe they've run it before, but not a full, actual man-to-man, across-the-board type coverage, using a nickelback that trails the H-back or trails the slot, using corners that jam, you know, in that 5-yard barrier. And run, and they did that. Now, what's crazy, and Scotty, you could probably remember watching Houston's quarterback Tune in the second quarter comfortably sit in the pocket, and he was firing darts into soft areas.
Yeah.
And then you see at the back end of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, he's getting flustered, and he's trying to leave the pocket and getting shifty, but there were linebackers there to clean him up. And then he was going past the 3 count and getting pressured and was not having the success. They changed the coverage. They ran a cover one, and they pressed, and they pushed on receivers. And I didn't feel like BYU had the talent to do that against Houston's wide receivers. I think Houston's wide receivers will be the best wide receivers they will see the remainder of the season, unless Boise State's got something I don't know.
Boise's got a young group. And I'm assuming they're pretty talented, but it'll be interesting how it plays out.
So Boise State's wide receiver is just kind of on the big
yeah,
the big scene of things. They're younger.
They're younger. They've had a couple guys that have been really good, but
sorry,
goes down the wrong tube sometimes.
I know, but you know Boise State's always recruiting speed. They've always got speed. So I was really surprised and really impressed to see BYU take a chance.
That's pretty impressive, too, to be able to – because that's not something I imagine that they practice a lot. It's not something I imagine they go to. And you have limited practice time. You have limited classroom time via NCAA rules. So to be able to put something in like that and to be able to execute it well against a really good team that's got offensive momentum and to be able to transition on the fly like that shows you not only some good coaching but some good players that are able to adapt on the fly.
Yeah. Absolutely. I would imagine that Kalani has worked a lot of technique, and you know sometimes they will run a man set, and they will run press. I'm not acting like the corners have never jammed and never tried to run, but the coverage that they were running across the board was unique. And you're right, for them to all be able to get on that same page and run it is really solid. Now, a couple of thoughts. You just mentioned it. Some of the coaching. When you watch that game, and I'll give you for instances, okay? So you watch that game and you see a unique new design based off of the Mahomes shovel, the no-look shovel. You remember I made a big deal of what Mahomes does that was different than most shovels. It's a different type of – it's not an actual shovel.
It's an overhand pass.
Yeah, it's an actual kind of zip pass, but it's a no-look zip pass. That design and when it was run was perfection. The onside kick, knowing that Houston's bailing, and it's funny, even I was in the rut. A lot of times I'm watching for little details, and I'm watching, okay, now would be a good time. Now would be a good time.
Yeah.
A fake punt or a fake field goal or an onside kick, or even I was in a rut, a lull. We hadn't seen an onside kick like that in a random attempt in a time like that from BYU in years.
But, I mean, obviously that – if I'm Ed Lamb and I'm looking at that, Houston obviously has no indication whatsoever that that's even a possibility. Those guys were so far back – the BYU guy, and I forget his name, who recovered the onside kick, essentially could have just fair caught the thing.
Yeah.
He had nobody around him.
Could have got under it and fair caught it.
Yeah, it blew me away how he's just like, all right, nobody's here. I mean, he had all the time in the world because Houston was peeling back like crazy.
And just a beautiful, beautifully executed kick.
Yeah, you can't do it much any better than that.
So there's that. There was a twist stunt in the back end of the third or the beginning of the fourth between, I think it was,
talking about where the center got his body turned.
Yeah, yeah. I actually put the tweet.
I saw
out
the
on
video
it.
On that.
I want to say it was Daw. Did Daw get that sack?
It might have been. Yeah.
Daw and maybe it was Daw and Haas. It was Haas coming from the outside. Or from the inside to the outside and Doc coming in. I haven't seen – well, I've seen him attempt some stunts, but I haven't seen a real clean stunt like that where an end comes in just clean and gets
but
the sack.
But you mentioned the center wasn't the best for Houston.
Right, yeah.
And I don't want to take away anything that BYU did because they executed it beautifully, but that center was he committed way too early on something like that.
He did. He absolutely did. And some of that it comes off of a few things. It comes off the way you set it up as a coordinator.
Yeah.
You know, if you're running these slants with your nose tackle across that center, he's going to get used to jamming down and not seeing anything come back to his left side or come back to the empty side. And so he feels okay committing. It almost felt like he was like comfortable, like, oh, well, they've seen this. So I'm just going to commit. And then the next thing you know, in a big moment, Daw wraps around. So, you know, there's right there, Scotty, I gave you an offensive, a defensive, and a special teams example of very solid coaching and very solid play calling. And then on the flip side, Houston was just the opposite. A sloppy, ugly mess. Fielding a punt on the one will never be okay.
Their special teams are so bad.
I mean, I'm watching. I mean, remember I told you, I said Houston's a team that could give you fits in the special teams. And I said BYU has got to make sure that they are ready to go on the special teams. Well, you got that really nice special teams look on the onside, and their special teams were keyed up and ready and played a big difference. And Houston, on the flip side, looked like they had said, well, we've already got the special teams wrapped up. We'll work on the other areas of football, and looked totally unprepared. And so I was really happy to see – and then sloppy penalties. You know, that I think it was the right offensive tackle – was a complete mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Holding after holding and a personal foul for unintentional or unnecessary. When he drove his helmet into the ground, I think it might have been, I don't remember if it was Wilgar or if it was Kafusi, but anyways, drove his helmet right down into a guy that was on the ground and got an excessive, and it was nice to see BYU was the more well-coached, more prepared team. Now, that was BYU's fifth game and Houston's second.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you want to tuck that into
account. Yeah, but still, you're not fielding punts of the one. I don't care if it's the first game or the fifth game. That's just stupid. There was a lot of stupidity with Houston.
There was a lot of stupid things.
But you're right. You're right. There can be some excuses for some sloppy play, but boy, Houston really shot themselves in the foot many, many times in that game. But BYU won it. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from BYU. BYU is the better team. BYU is the more physical team. And when BYU put the clamps down there in the fourth quarter, it was lights out.
And Zach Wilson, we can't say enough about Dax Milne and Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Those two connected time after time after time. Through three quarters, Dax Milne had 8 catches for 166 yards through three quarters and 2 touchdowns. Milne was great. A little bit later in the show, we'll get into the injuries. I've got some thoughts on James Impey, some thoughts on Gunnar Romney, some thoughts on some of these guys on when I hope to see them back.
There was a somewhat of a concern in terms of I don't want to say concern, like, and I'll fall on the sword a little bit on this. After week one, when everybody's making the jokes about should we talk about Zach Wilson and Heisman? And I'm like, whoa, too soon. Guess what? I don't know if it's too soon anymore. Like, I think we're at a point now where you can enjoy the Zach Wilson hype and see where that train takes you. Because he is playing at a high level outside of Boise State. There's not a lot of challenges left. Maybe San Diego State on the schedule. There's a really strong chance BYU finishes the year undefeated. And if so, Zach Wilson's going to get a lot of praise, and deservedly so. He might be invited back to New York before it's all said and done if he continues to play at this level. Now, look, that Heisman Trophy is already being engraved for Trevor Lawrence, so just know that.
Yeah.
But to be part of the conversation, and when you see side-by-side graphics of Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, that's good for the program, that's good for Utah, or for BYU,
yeah,
and that's good for quarterback play here in the state of Utah. So enjoy it as that freight train's rolling, and I don't think anything's slowing it down anytime soon.
Well, definitely not the next two opponents.
Nope. Texas State. Who's after that? Western Kentucky?
Yeah. I do think that Harsin and Boise State, I think that they're gonna do everything. They're gonna be ready.
But you just know BYU traditionally matches up really well with Boise State. Even in games they don't win, you know, you've got the goal line stand, you've got the 2-point conversion that BYU is unable to convert. Like, BYU has been every bit the team that Boise State's been over the last stretch of games.
I should know this. Has BYU beat Boise State on the blue turf?
I think they did it. Was it last year?
Might have been.
No, because they're going to Boise. They're going to Boise this year.
Right.
So they wouldn't play back-to-back games. Because you had the goal line. I mean, there was the 2-point conversion that they went for.
I should know this, but I just.
I don't know. Katie might know. You remember beating Boise State up in Boise?
I think we lost. I really do. Like, I have a vivid memory of it was
Yeah, they went for the 2-point with Taysom. I was at that game, and they were unable to get it.
Is that I think that might be the last time that they. Well,
Jake's going to come in here and make us all look dumb.
Yeah, but you know, I don't.
0-5 in Boise. You've never won in Boise. Wow.
You know, I probably back in 2000 and I don't know, 2, 3, 4. I gave the BYU was playing Boise State in Boise. It was the one where BYU missed the field goal.
Yeah, Matt Payne had the big hit and then ended up missing the field goal.
Okay, so that was on a bye week.
Okay.
And I came back to Weezer in the bye week and went to that game in Boise and actually spoke to the team pregame.
Oh, boy.
And when I spoke to the team, I said, look, I'm from Idaho. And one thing I know as an Idahoan is that we always lose to BYU. Whether it's a Vandal, it's a Bronco, it's a Bengal, they always, always lose to BYU. And I said, what does that mean? We don't ever lose to Idaho teams. And then they lost to an Idaho team.
If you want to know how the local teams do in Boise, they're 0-15. They've never won at the blue turf on the Smurf turf. 0-15, all teams.
That's not good.
Did you say 0-15?
0-15.
9 times.
Well, okay. Utah State is 0-9.
Are they really?
Yeah,
that's not good.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Jeez. I never lost to him on the blue turf.
Today.
When did you play him on the blue turf?
I didn't.
Okay. Did you play any playoff games on the blue turf or any high school games?
Yeah. Yes. No. No, only camps.
Yeah, because I was
always. All 4 of my camps.
We had a couple camps up there, but then we always played our playoff games in the mini dome.
Yeah. We were either in Moscow or Pocatello.
All right, Katie's been patiently waiting. She doesn't need to know the history of Idaho high school football playoffs. How are you?
Good. I just got back from Idaho last night.
Oh, really? Where were you at?
We just went to Island Park again.
Oh, nice.
It was freezing up there.
Yeah,
do you guys not have a heater in the fall?
not up that way.
No.
Not up there.
Not up that way.
You go to Bear World?
I did not. I drove past it and thought of both of you and told my kids. I'm like, well, Scotty doesn't like Bear World.
I don't know. Maybe next time.
Your kids might like it.
Roll the dice. Give it a try. Hey, so Katie, how are things going here in the state with real estate? Are we still moving along pretty well?
We are. We're starting to get a lot more listings, and there's still a ton of buyers out there. And so it's great, and we're saving a lot of people a lot of money.
Great thing about Homie is it's a one-stop shop. So let's talk about if you want to if you're looking to sell your home, a lot of people just naturally think it's going to cost me 6%.
Yeah.
3% to sell, 3% for the buyer's agent. That's all out of the mix. You throw that all away.
Yeah. The great thing with Homie is you get the expert service and you get the savings without that 6% commission. We're a flat fee, and so we're going to help you save as much money as you can and keep all that equity in your pocket.
Katie, I want you to clear something up for everybody listening right now. I think a lot of people think of Homie and they're like, oh, so I pay them $1,500, they put it on MLS, and then, you know, that's how it sells. Help them understand that it is a full service for the $1,500.
Yeah, 100%. So you go online, you start listing your home. We're going to send out a photographer, a professional photographer, to take some beautiful pictures of your home. We're going to put it on the MLS for you. We're going to help you price it. We're going to help you through the negotiations. We're going to help you understand the offers that are coming in. You have an agent walking you through the process, helping you schedule the tours, helping you from start to finish, walking you all the way through closing. And we also have a title company, too, so we'll help you with closing.
Wow.
So we're one-stop shop and able to just simplify the process and make it so much more affordable.
And that's the thing I really admire is that it's just a one-stop shop. And, you know, whether you're looking to buy, whether you're looking to sell, insurance, title, the loan process as well, you've got that all covered. And, hey, with rates the way they are right now, now's the time people are looking to refi.
Yeah, for sure. Rates are still at an all-time low. It's a great time to refinance. It's a great time to get rid of that PMI. It's just a great time to to either buy or sell, or it still hasn't snowed here yet, although that might change this weekend. But it's a great time to get into a new home or to refinance the home you're currently in.
Well, let's make it happen. Really simple. Go to homie.com for one-stop shop, H-O-M-I-E, homie.com, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Nothing else matters, fellas. Every day we go to work.
Football is back, and the Zone Sports Network has you covered. As the Cougars continue to bulldoze through their schedule and the Utes and Aggies get set for the start of their seasons.
You gotta go faster, faster!
Nobody will bring you better coverage of your team than the Zone Sports Network. This is your home of the best college football coverage in Utah.
Turn me up all day!
97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, we got to clarify a few things here because we had a little bit of a yelling match during the break. So I went back because I knew Utah State had gotten a win up there in Boise because Lloyd said 0-15. Nobody's ever won in Boise. And so I went back and looked, and in 1996, you got to go back 24 years, Utah State did get a win in Boise. And so I said, Lloyd, there's a W. And he goes, well, that's a David James stat. So then Lloyd yelled at DJ. Then DJ came in and yelled at all of us. He said, what I said was, since 1996, teams are 0-15.
It's hard to hear him through the mask, in all fairness. He's doing what he's supposed to, which is wear that mask.
So hold on, though. What, Boise State was still in the Big Sky in 96,
no,
right?
No, they just made the jump up.
That year?
That year. I think that was their first.
Because when they were recruiting actually, in 96, they were still Big Sky.
I think 95 was their first year in the
Division
the
One,
the Big West, yeah.
Because they weren't even Division One when they were recruiting me, I don't think.
Well, they were Division One AA. They were in the Big Sky.
Was it considered One AA?
One
back
AA,
then?
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't remember the designations back then. I just remember that they weren't considered big boy football.
Yeah.
So. I think 96 is a good barometer because that's when Boise State became Boise State was what, maybe 99, 2000? When did Boise State become like really difficult to beat, especially on the blue turf?
I think it was.
Like I said, when I spoke to the team, it was like 2002 or 2003 when BYU lost.
They had their big Fiesta Bowl win was. Was that 05, 06, I want to say? That's when they won the big Fiesta Bowl game. But they've been a problem since, I want to say, 99, 2000, around there.
Right in that area?
Yeah, yeah.
But still, let's just say that 0-15 since 1996 is stunning.
That's not okay.
We're talking about teams in the state of Utah going to the blue turf. 0-15 since 96 is still shocking.
So Boise State joined the Big West in 1996 and then left in 01 for the WAC. So, yeah. So 96 to 2001.
Well, BYU's going to have some familiarity with the Boise State Broncos Stadium because they were just there for the Idaho Potato Bowl, taking on Western Kentucky. Zach Wilson did pretty good on the blue turf.
There you go.
If I remember right, wasn't he 18 of 18 or something?
Yeah, well, that was the game you and I called, right?
He had one incompletion.
Did he have an incomplete in that game?
One.
Wow. So... I think he's comfortable on the blue turf.
Yeah, he's all right.
But still, it's going to make it difficult here in 3 weeks. I almost feel like BYU is going to go dormant here for 2 weeks. They've got scrimmage. Texas State's terrible. They're just horrible.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem is is
so is Western Kentucky.
You can't get overly complacent, but it's hard not to when you know you're going to steamroll these teams. And it's hard for us to be, hey, let's talk about Texas State.
I don't want to.
Let's talk about Western. No, I don't.
I could kind of do it with like UTSA and Troy. I could kind of because it was so new and it was like, oh, football's back and I'm watching film and I'm like, this is great. And now it's like, oh, I don't want to watch Texas State. They're garbage.
Yeah, it's just something that you would like to really rally around and get excited about, but it's just hard to.
You know, you just said keeping focused. BYU's going to have to find a way to stay motivated and focused.
Because the problem is they could play a B-minus football and still win by 20 points.
Exactly. And then you show up playing B-minus against Boise State, and you're going to get smacked. You've got a couple of plays that work against Texas State that might not work against Boise State, although it was really nice to see some of those plays that were called against Houston work. That coaching staff called a really nice game against Houston.
And there's a lot of calls there and a lot of plays that they ran that teams are going to have to spend a lot of extra time on practice.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. And the play action continues to be just a deadly force with Zach Wilson. And I also think that Zach is continuing to show that he kind of needs full control of the ball. Full control. Not to the RPO sense, but if you want to run option, that's fine. Option with the opportunity to dump, that's fine. But I don't like RPOs.
Don't ask me stats anymore. Zach Wilson, 18 of 18.
He was 8. Yeah, he was 100%.
Don't ask me stats anymore. Whatever. I thought he had one incompletion, but I thought I better double check. No, he was perfect.
I don't know.
Perfection. Yeah. 317 yards. Tanner Mangum was 1 of 1 for 41 yards.
Scotty, acknowledged what he said. Just
thanks for the update, Lloyd.
Just helping out. I want to make sure we're accurate on here.
We make sure you're accurate. We did say 18
I want to make sure we're accurate.
And okay, you said and no,
I thought he had an incompletion. I'm sorry. Perfection.
You can't blame DJ on that one.
I'm not. It's me. I'm taking the blame for it.
So 18
by the way,
18.
I did get somebody who texted me. He's like, hey, are you and Lloyd in an okay place? I'm like, yeah.
Just now?
No, over the weekend after our Friday.
Yeah.
We move on quickly.
Well, I thought you guys would find some common ground with the Dodgers and the Rays showing up for the World Series.
No.
Because neither one of you care.
That's probably
I hate the Dodgers or whatever.
Yeah, that's probably
it. You know, if the Dodgers win, you're just going to be like, this season didn't even matter. You can't count this.
Oh, yeah. You know what you're putting right next to that win, right?
A little asterisk.
Yes, you are. Can't do it in a real season, can you?
I watched a lot of baseball last night, but even then, and I know they were good games and stuff, I just had a hard time, really.
Shows you how much faith they have in Kershaw. They wouldn't even go with their ace in a closeout game. In game 7.
Hey, I was going to talk a little bit about the injuries.
Yeah.
And what to expect. Like Kyrus Tonga, James Impey, and Romney. This is what I fully expect. I don't expect to see James Impey back before Boise State. I don't know if I even expect to see Romney back before Boise State.
These are two games you could have Joe Tukuafu there and you'd be in fine shape.
Yeah, and
the Romney thing's a little bit more disappointing.
What do you mean?
You say Romney's out until Boise?
Yeah, Gunner, potentially. Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to have him back in the lineup just to keep the rhythm and the timing of everything. But my guess is, you know, you think about these next 2 weeks. So you think about the confidence the team has and you think about the depth that they have. They know that they can go in and play their butts off, have both these teams come to LeVar Edwards Stadium and get a win. They believe that as long as they've got Zach Wilson. So I just think they're going to take their sweet time and make sure everybody's healed up and ready to go. Making sure that Kyrus Tonga is 100%. And by the way, Kyrus isn't dealing with an injury. Kyrus is just dealing with some sickness. So he'll be fine, and he'll get back. There's a couple of guys that have been out. Mahe, who's been out, he's a defensive tackle, very good defensive tackle. You've got Tristan Hodge, who's been out, and that's been well publicized, the pneumonia. These guys, I'm just, my fingers are crossed that Hodge can be available for Boise State.
Yeah.
That Tonga could be available for Boise State. I feel confident in saying that most of the big names, of course, outside of Matt Bushman and Chaz Aoyu, who opted out for the rest of the season, I expect those guys to be back and available for Boise State. And I'm not really concerned about Texas State or Western Kentucky with them.
Not one bit.
So that's kind of where things stand on the injury and illness front for BYU. Should have a full roster. It is nice, though. It feels like things have stabilized a little bit in believing that we're going to have that game and that we're going to have a Texas State game and that we're going to have a – doesn't it? It feels like it's absolutely a little bit more stable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right on that one. And I think that'll be important going forward, that things kind of stabilize in that regard.
It feels like it's stabilized.
I want to knock on Formica or whatever this thing is here.
Just doesn't feel as unpredictable. It feels like BYU got under control whatever it was that they were needing to get under control.
We'll say this. If I'm Tom Holmo, I'm making phone calls to everybody I can right now. Whether it be trying to get Army back on the schedule, even trying to get Liberty. Liberty's undefeated on the season.
Yeah.
Trying to get Liberty on the schedule. Like
Liberty just beat Syracuse.
So, and by the way.
And beat them pretty good.
And by the way, Syracuse has Clemson. This week.
Oh, do they?
Oh, that's not going to be pretty.
I think Liberty beat them by like 20.
Yeah.
20 or something.
And it, frankly, it wasn't even that close.
Mm. I thought Clemson, Georgia Tech was bad.
Yeah, exactly. Eesh. And so, like, look, this is a weird year. If I'm Tom Holmo, and I'm assuming he is, I'm making phone calls like crazy. Try to get somebody in October, November. Try to find another key team because this BYU team deserves it. Mm-hmm. They need it. I think that if you go undefeated, I think you've got a great opportunity for New Year Six. But you know what? Sky's the limit. See if you can get yourself into a playoff positioning by trying to boost those numbers the best you can.
I do, like you said, I do wish that BYU could get Army back on the schedule because I did watch some of that Army UTSA game. Did you guys watch any of that? I just turned it on because I'm like, I want to see what Army does against UTSA. I want to see if UTSA is the real deal. Army beat them by more than BYU beat them by. And Army actually looked like they had more grasp of control of that game than BYU did. So it'd be a good opponent where Army sits at 5-1 right now. Their only loss is to a ranked Cincinnati team. And I don't know where Cincinnati's ranked now, but I know last week they were ranked. But I would imagine they're still ranked.
What you may have missed coming up next, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. This update brought to you by Action Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Spring into action now. Mention this and receive $33 off any service. Call Action at 801-833-3333. That's 801-833-3333 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go!
The Big Show. With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Ashley Adamson, the Pac-12 Network.
Can Utah lose that kind of talent and compete for a Pac-12 title again?
If you would ask me that question when they first entered the league, I would have said, no, you're crazy. That would be impossible for anybody. But I have become such a believer in Kyle Whittingham and such a believer in this Utah program that I think, especially in this year, the teams that are going to do well are the ones that are disciplined and methodical and don't get too high and don't get too low and are able to roll with the punches. And that is Kyle Whittingham to a T. And a lot of times the reason teams have success is because they take on the personality of their head coach, and we've seen that at Utah. So I just have a sense that they're going to surprise some people.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hey, Utah State has just released its depth chart, and not a big surprise here at all, but Jason Shelley listed as the starting quarterback. I know they do like Andrew Peasley, who is the backup, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's some packages available for Andrew Peasley out there and some opportunities for him. He's just a tremendous athlete. And again, this is just me speculating, but it wouldn't surprise me to see opportunities to get him out in the field in some way, shape, or form. Still has a long way to come in developing his arm, but the dude can flat out run the football. And so maybe Wildcat, maybe some opportunities like that for him out there. But Jason Shelley will be the guy and will be your starting quarterback at Utah State when they open up against Boise on Saturday.
I'm excited for Aggie fans to see him. I need to go back and maybe do a couple of films on Shelley and release them out for Utah State fans.
I went back and watched the
see what he can do.
The BYU-Utah game, the infamous comeback from 2 or 3 years ago. I guess that would have been 2 years ago. And kept a close eye on Shelley. And the guy can make some plays big plays down the stretch in that game.
He can make plays. He'll hurt some defenses in the Mount West Conference with his feet, too.
Yeah.
He'll make plays. You can run an option attack with him. He's pretty versatile. He's an athlete. He's also got a chip on his shoulder. I feel like he hates the world right now.
And you want a little.
You want some of that.
Some of that in vinegar.
He wants to prove things.
Yeah.
And the only way for him to truly prove something is to be in that Mount West Conference Championship game. It's not going to be a week-to-week approval. You got to get some hardware. Do something big. Yeah. And he knows that. If he goes up to Utah State and he takes them to a Mount West Conference Championship game after Utah State purging a lot of good talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball, including a first-round draft pick at quarterback, that would be really impressive. It would make everybody in the state stop and say, oh, Utah should have never let him go. That's what he wants. He wants everybody to take a breath and say, boy, sorry, man, Shelley, I can't believe it. This Jake Bentley, he's just not cutting it.
Yeah,
they should have kept you.
I know there are people who looked up at COC Mariner like, wow, look what COC did up there last year.
Yeah.
We should have gotten him more opportunities.
Did he get close to 1,000 yards?
If he did not,
he was right there by it.
He was, yeah, I think he was, I want to say he was 1,000 yard. I don't know. Lloyd's going to jump in and give me a wrong stat here in a second. Sorry.
He's not laughing.
Oh, man, he's 13 yards away, 987.
He's not laughing.
Yeah, he had over 1,000 yards.
he just crept over 1,000.
You guys will not believe this. He had 1,500 yards receiving last year. I'm sorry. That was uncalled for.
The other thing in what you may have missed, Scotty, how about them Broncos? I'm bummed that we've got the Raiders on a bye week, but I was really happy to see the Broncos take care of business. Are you still on the, what are they calling it, crap out for Clemson QB?
Crap out for Clemson. I like that. Tank for Trevor?
Tank for Trevor.
Well, it's not going to happen now, so let's roll. I know he didn't play great yesterday, but I do like Drew Locke. I don't like the fact that you needed 6 field goals to win that game. You couldn't punch it in for a single solitary touchdown. But going to New England and getting a win against the Hoodie, you know what? I'm happy, because after all the crap that the Patriots made Denver go through with all their positive tests, and to beat Cam Newton, and that defense played well yesterday. So I was happy with that W. And by the way, how about this? Back-to-back 100-yard games for Tim Patrick.
He's doing great. He is. He's doing great. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
That's a big receiver. I always felt like he should do more at the University of Utah. I always felt like there was just something missing. I don't know what it is. Maybe a quarterback that was throwing.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's why, we mentioned COC Mariner, who on Twitter said, look, it's not because I didn't like Utah. He goes, I just wanted some opportunities, and the offense wasn't set up for me to get. Like last year, he had 68 catches, 987 yards, and 10 touchdowns. He wouldn't have gotten that at Utah, not because that's just not how Utah's built. They weren't going to sling it around as much as they were at Utah State.
Tyler did a little bit. I think the combination of Andy Ludwig and Jake Bentley is going to be fun. I think there's going to be a lot of distribution, though. There's a lot of different targets. You know, whether you're looking at your tight end or you're looking at your slot or your two outsides, there's probably five or six guys that are going to be continually targeted. Yeah. Things will be spread out pretty evenly, but I expect a lot of yardage through the air from Bentley and Ludwig.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Katie's hanging out with us once again from Homie. How are you, Katie?
Great. How are you guys?
So, Katie, I want to talk about this cool promotion that you guys just had. I saw it online. I actually got to watch some of the videos. So you had a couple of big winners come in and get to clean out a Jazz locker?
Yeah, it was a really cool promotion. And actually, we started a year ago this week. It's crazy to think, like, a year ago, that's when the Jazz, like, this is when Jazz season starts.
I know, right?
It's so weird to see this, like, whole arena empty. And but, yeah, a year ago, we brought it back. It was something that was done over a decade ago. They used to do this locker room raid promotion where fans got to come in and grab all the stuff that was left in the lockers of the players. So when we partnered with the Jazz, we were able to bring this promotion back. And so over the course of the year, I've been gathering a lot of entries. We had thousands of entries. I think it ended up being over 5,000 people entered to clean the lockers out. And 17 lucky winners got to come finally on Friday. And it's been quite the interesting turn of events. Like,
well, that stuff's been in the lockers for a while.
Yeah, so we had some stuff that was pre-COVID in the lockers, and then they actually brought stuff back from the bubble. So that's why it took so long after our season ended, is because I'm pretty sure they, like, took the whole, like, weight room to Florida, and so they had to bring all of
that's
that
right.
back.
Yeah.
And so we finally got that, and so it was kind of cool. You could tell what stuff was pre-COVID and what stuff was post-COVID, because all of the stuff from the bubble had the Jerry Sloan patch on it.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was really neat, and so I was actually able
That's some unique gear those people got.
Yeah, some really unique gear. And, I mean, who's going to be able to, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime season. Like, at least I hope it's a once-in-a-lifetime season. I hope that this is something we never have to live through again.
I know.
I mean, it's still going on, but what a season to say that you got to go clean out a Jazz player's locker.
What were some of the things that, were there some shoes, were there shirts, mostly workout shirts?
I'm pretty sure all 17 got to come away with some shoes. I mean, obviously we all see Donovan give his shoes out after games. So his shoes weren't available, and I know Rudy donates his shoes to Rudy's Kids Foundation, but everybody was able to come home with a player's shoes. But they had some warm-up shirts, like what they wear pre-game. They had some,
a lot of practice jerseys,
a lot of pants and jackets, some hats. But it's funny that Rudy Gobert, we all see Rudy Gobert warm up pre-game, and his shirts are he's a big guy, like he's pretty tall. He's a pretty big guy.
Yep.
All of his shirts are size medium. And that kind of surprised me.
What?
And he wears a medium shirt because he likes it so tight. But he can't move his arms with his shirt. So he has to cut the sleeves off of all of his shirts so he can have, like, that the ability to practice.
So he's
shoot.
Got the medium torso. That's funny.
So, I mean, it was pretty cool to see all this unique stuff. I know Royce O'Neal likes to cut his warm-up pants. So all of his pants were cut off.
Uh-huh.
And it was really cool to see these fans and get to watch the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity they had. We had a lot of cute little kids come through, and we had a girl write a note to Mike Conley and leave it on his locker.
Oh,
and so that was
awesome.
It was really a neat experience. And we're excited to be holding this for the next few years. So
great. So you'll be back and doing this when we...
next season. Look for this locker room raid. It's an incredible experience.
I love it. Love the partnership with Homie. Go to homie.com. Use promo code HANCE. You're going to get $500 off the sell price of your home. So $1,500, it's the full service sell price or the full service experience. They assign a realtor from the lockbox to the paperwork, everything in between, all scheduling the walkthroughs. They're there all along the way. Katie, thank you.
Thank you.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. You're going to hear from Kyle Whittingham coming up next.